Today. Okay. Let's begin. Let us begin. Let's begin. We have the parak Lamed Gimel, a new parak, a new topic, a new discussion. The truth is, what we're going to learn out over here is almost a word for word repetition of what it said in parak Zayin, in the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he recruits Yecheskel to be a Navi, he tells him exactly what the role of a Navi is. It's very appropriate to learn this on Erev Shabbos, Parshas Pinchas, the first week of the 3 weeks, because that's really what we're going to read in the Haftarah tomorrow. Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu, there Hashem recruits Yirmiyah to serve as a Navi, and Hashem tells him exactly what his role is. So here as well, we're going to learn exactly what the role of a Navi is.
Does a Navi have a right to reject it like Yirmiyah did, or which Rabbanah did?
Possibly, maybe he does. Everyone in this world has Bechira Chavshis. Everyone can make a Bechira Chavshis. Hashem says to Esther, Im Hacharesh Tacharishi Bo Eis Hazois, Revach Viat Solo Yamo La Yehudu Mi Mokoy Macher Viatu Vesavichot Vesavich Toivedu. Moshe also refused. Hashem recruited Moshe, so for how many days? So Moshe also refused, and he suffered because of that. Because he refused, what happened? He was denied malchus. There were more things that he could have received, but he lost that because he was not quick enough to accept the mission.
But Hashem did say, "All right, you don't want it. I'll give it to your brother. You don't want it. He doesn't. I'm sure he'll take it."
We don't know. Maybe
at the very nobody else.
It's a very good point. Did Hashem twist his arm to take it? Maybe it could have come to a point where Moshe could have said at the very end, after everything is said and done, I still don't want. It could have been, possibly. I don't know. It doesn't say in Chazal. It says that Hashem didn't let up. Hashem persuaded him for 7 days. It was more even for seven, at least 7 days, persuaded him until he accepted. But very likely, Moshe Rabbeinu at the very end could have said to Hashem, I'm sorry, I don't want. And then Hashem would go get someone else. Just like Hashem says to Esther, Mordechai says to Esther, Esther, you have an opportunity. You don't want to take advantage of the opportunity. I don't need you. There are many Esthers out there. There are many people out there that can bring the salvation for Klal Yisrael. You want to take advantage, it will be to your benefit. You don't want to take advantage, so no one's going to lose but you. See, this to me, you know, they tell children, this idea bothers me very, very much. They tell children that every single person is special. Hashem needs, if you're created, Hashem needs you. Hashem, you like an orchestra. Every single person, every single member of the orchestra contributes towards the music, and if you're missing one player, it's not the same music. There's a famous story where there's a person, Mumcha, he listened on the radio to this orchestra of 150 people, and he was able to tell that there was someone missing.
Taskinini.
How can you tell? How can you tell? By listening.
Taskinini could do that.
What?
Taskinini, famous conductor.
He can tell by listening on the radio that one musician of 150 people is missing. I heard this many times. It's a very famous speech. Many darshanim, they take this idea, that exact maysa. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the music industry, and they say Hashem created the world. Every single person has their role, their mission, and if you're not playing your music, then Hashem, it's not the same world. The music is not the same. That's what they say in the Welt. I have a problem with that because it says in the Megillah, Mordechai says to Esther, Hashem doesn't need you. Hashem will get the job done without him. Hacharesh tacharishi bo es hazos revach v'hatzolo yamod la'yehudim mimokoy macher v'yatu v'esuvichot teveidu. So how do you reconcile that pasuk with this idea that many Rabbanim present that you need, Hashem needs every single creature? Does Hashem need every creature, or does, no, Hashem doesn't need anyone. We have opportunities to take advantage of. And if we take advantage of those opportunities, we will be the ones who will be nene from the Ziv Hashchina. And if we choose not to, so we're only harming ourselves. And Hashem, it's not Hashem's, you can't blame Hashem. It's a very scary idea, because many times in life you make bad decisions, and those bad decisions have major consequences. Then you want to look back and say, oh, it's all bashert. It's not all bashert. It's you who have not taken advantage of a good situation. I'm just throwing out this idea. Obviously, there's more to talk about. I don't know.
Okay, so what do we have? We have the case of Moshe, okay, you know, he's dealing directly, Coach Brock is dealing directly with Moshe, okay.
Yeah.
That's one level of what's he thinking about. And Mordechai, okay, you want to say he's a Navi, he's dealing with Esther. It's not God anymore.
But he's so giving Esther, over her, the fact that it's recorded in the Megillah, it's a powerful statement. It's a powerful statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need you. You, Hashem, is giving you an opportunity.
But there's someone telling her that. Mordechai is. And the rest of us.
Yeah. It's the same thing. This is a lesson. Right.
It sounds nice. I go by that. I live by that. But how do we know? What's the opportunity? Maybe the opportunity is to turn it down.
I agree. Like Boaz and Rus. Boaz could have said to Rus, get out of here. You're a nice young lady. Go find out. Nice person.
Right, it's not nice to me. To
I mean, we can take one mice.
All right, you're right. I don't know. That's life. That's the difficulty. That's what life is all about. The struggle of making decisions in life. You need siyata d'shmaya to make the right decision.
We call them an opportunity. It's a decision.
You're right. Easier said than done. What? I'm talking about a general approach to life. A general approach to life is
take the opportunity.
Take advantage of opportunities. That's a very important principle.
We have to decide and if you, an opportunity.
But then later when you don't take advantage of opportunities, so people like to say, wasn't Bashert. Wasn't meant to be. So you didn't really lose out because Hashem has created the world to achieve a certain goal and you're all part of that master plan. So eventually it would work out whether you like it or not.
Right.
So you have no one, so therefore don't blame yourself.
Right.
Don't blame yourself. It's not meant to be. So that approach is the approach of the musician. Hashem created the world. Every single creature is part of the orchestra. Everyone plays a role. You just don't understand what your role is. Everything is min hashamayim. Mm-hmm. Is that really correct? Or maybe no, not everything is min hashamayim. It's up to you to make it min hashamayim. So blame yourself. If you made a mistake later on, don't go sit back and just fold your hands and say, oh, it wasn't about Hashem, it was not meant to be. Blame yourself. Take responsibility. For yourself.
But it really comes before that, because the obligation of each of us is to sit down every day as we're growing up and do din v'cheshbon.
Yeah.
What does God want from me?
Okay.
If we can reach that level, okay, then we'll be able to take advantage of the opportunities. Not everyone has the capability, especially as they're growing up, to see that in front of them.
Right, absolutely. That's the struggle. This is the great nisayon. Okay, let's go further.
Mr. Jarrett appreciates the decorum and that you made the announcement, and some people have taken advantage.
Okay, good. Very good. Please, Rabbi, I continue. You know, Baruch Hashem, he's a very good person, Mr. Jarrett. He his whole life was very makbid on Bikur Cholim. He was very makbid his whole life, so we should reciprocate. Yeah.
You know, what you said about each individual being unique and has to fit into the orchestra. Who do you tell that to? You tell that
the children.
To parents or the children of somebody who's defective or challenged in some way. So you make them feel better because that they don't fit in.
But
on
is
the
it
other hand, when you talk to somebody like Esther,
adult, yeah,
you know, we're giving you something you can, you know, magnify yourself.
I know, but if it's not true, the hashkaf is not true. I don't believe it's good to train children with false, with ideas. You tell children, everyone is special, everyone's part of the orchestra, and Hashem needs every single one of you. Okay, it's very, very nice, but you know, sometimes you get carried away and you teach children things that are not really true.
Because you have to help them. Your words help them feel like a mensch.
Okay, it has to be a balance. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous to grow up with an ideology, with a hashkafa that's not true.
It's
very dangerous. Okay, so you know you have to talk to professionals. And the truth is, every generation, every year, Machanach told me it used to be that every 10 years there was a reassessment in how to deal with the approach to chinuch habanim. Today it's every year. Today society changes so fast. It changes so fast. The values and the hashkafa and the nisyonos of what children are faced with, the approach to chinuch. It has to be completely reassessed and completely readjusted every single, continuously, because the world is a place that is evolving at a pace that is beyond that is out of control. Okay, let's learn a little bit of Navi. Pasuk laperik lamed gimel pasuk av lamed gimel pasuk al fa'id v'ashem v'lai leimar ben adam da'ber el b'nei amecha. So we are finally getting away from Egypt. We're now going to discuss Musar. Yechezkel is giving Musar to the Jewish people. He's preaching to the choir. He's preaching to the choir. Speak to your people. B'nai Amcha.
Preaching to the choir means the choir is going.
They agree. They're receptive. Okay, they're receptive. Over here, they're not accurate. Now, over here, they could be. They are receptive. Okay, but he's talking to his own people now. Daber el b'nei amcha v'yamatalim eretz, with regard to a land. Ki avi ol to Mitzrayim. Before he was,
where was he speaking to?
He was speaking. I don't know. He had a blog.
He sent out letters.
He had a podcast.
He posted
online.
Sent an email. I thought it was in all the papers.
I'm sure they did. I don't know the answer. I don't know, but he spoke in a public place. The message, it could be the message was spoken to the Jews, but the message was primarily directed towards the Ummah Yisraelam. I guess the Jews heard what he said, and they relayed the message to the Ummah Yisraelam. Over here, he's speaking directly to the Jewish people.
What did he want them to do? Truly?
Let's see. Let's read the parak. We have a whole parak over here.
The
Ummah Yisraelam.
You just don't know what's going to happen.
But he's giving them an opportunity. He told them what's going to happen, which means it was going to happen naturally, but he's filling them in pashtuses, filling them in what's going to happen in order that they can do teshuva so it does not have to happen. That answers a lot of questions. Like it says about the Arzos Habris, which says that how can you not say that refers to America, and it says such terrible things, and yet you look at America, America's not so bad. So maybe the effect of Yechezkel warning them that if you follow, you go down this path, may have had an effect on the people that were involved throughout all the generations. They indeed changed their ways, and that's why indeed they did not come about the way it was predicted to be. I don't know. Okay, let's see what's over here. So, Dabriel b'nei amchav yomatalchem eretz a land, with regard to a land, ki avi olach, this is a general mashal. He's giving a mashal describing the role of a Navi. Again, everything we learn over here, I think we learned kimat, word for word in Perek Zayin, I think it's Perek Zayin, the same as that. Why is it being repeated again? I really, really don't know. None of the Farshim seem to explain why this section is repeated. But Eretz ki avi olach charif, let's say I bring upon them an enemy. An enemy is approaching. They get word that an enemy is marching, carrying swords, a sword to attack. V'lochu am ha'aretz ish echad miktzehem. So the people who are in the walled city, in the city, they get a report that the enemy is watching. They select one person, v'nasnu oso lohem litzoifeh, and they appoint him to be a watchman. A lookout. They take this guy and they train him and they say, listen, we have rumors. There are rumors that we're going to be attacked. Therefore, we want to go about our daily lives, but we want you to be a lookout, and if you see something unusual, then report it to us immediately. Pasagimo, v'ra'a es acherev bo'al aretz. Lo and behold, this tsoifeh, who is going to be a marshal for the Navi, okay, the Navi is going to be the lookout for sins that are taking place amongst the people. But in this marshal, the lookout sees a sword indeed is approaching the land. So what is his job? To sound the alarm, to blow the trumpet. So his role is to blow the shofar, and to warn the people, watch out, the enemy is approaching. Now, what happens to the people inside this? They hear the siren, they hear the alarm. So some people go into the bomb shelters, some people don't. V'shama ha-shoimea, the people in the city, they hear, es kol ha-shoifar v'loy nisar. And it's a false alarm. And they don't go into their bomb shelters, they don't go prepare. V'atavoy chere v'ati kochehu, and then lo and behold, the enemy indeed penetrates the city and kills this person who did not listen to the alarm, who was out in the street and he was caught without being able to defend himself, and he dies. Domoy b'rosho yihiyeh. His blood is on his own head. When he comes to the Olam HaEmes, they'll say, you know, you're Chayiv Misa. You're Chayiv Misa for yourself. You killed yourself. There was a lookout. He sounded the alarm. You're a fool. You should have gone into the shelter. You should have bear arms. You would have been able to fight off the enemy. And you did not listen to the lookout. You have no one to blame but yourself. And therefore, you're Chayiv Misa for your own death. Pasuk Hey. Why? Because Ace called Hashayfar Shama V'loin Nisar. He heard the sound of the shofar, he was not careful. Therefore, Dama Boyiya. And therefore, the Pasuk says, if he was responsible. Ace called Hashayfar Shama V'loin Nisar. Dama Boyiya. But who nizar kekam? Who nizar? But what would have been if he would have been nizar? What would have been if he would have listened to the sound of the shofar? He would have taken, defended himself. Nafsho milat. He would have been able to save his soul. Okay, so let's see the pesukim first together.
Is this all an analogy?
All analogy. The tzayfe is the navi. The tzayfe is the most simple version of going through all this. There's a very beautiful malbum on this as well to explain this a little more, a little deeper. Let's see first in the mitzudos of these pesukim very quickly, starting with pasuk beis in the mitzudos David beis ki avi omar avi lefisha kolba begzeres hamakom. Everything which happens in this world comes through Hashem's gzera cherev v'tzav lemar an shecherev. People who bear swords, v'nosnu oso yimanu oso li osofeh. They appoint a purse to be a lookout. Lik liros im kereva lavo ha'ira, if someone is coming towards the city. Pasuk gimel v'rov gashera kishagbar bo b'taka oz b'shoifa lios l'simen v'yisrei b'zeh sa'am lios nishmorim min ha'cheref. He's supposed to sound the alarm. Pasuk dalet v'lo nitzar. What happens if a person living in this city hears the alarm and is not careful? V'lekibel hazar lios nishmor b'avur zeh lo kach ha'kev v'haragoy. And because of this, the sword takes him and kills him. So what is the halacha? What is dama b'roshay? Return lemar avoyin misasoy alatzmoy. He is responsible for his own death. Aval ein lahashim esat soifeh. The soifeh. Now here's the point. Here's what the mitzudas is coming to inject into this pasuk, which is important for the mashal. For the mashal, that is, the soifeh has done his job. And therefore, so to you, the Navi, if you warn the people that they are doing averos, and there are going to be consequences for their sins, and they're going to... And they don't listen, you, the Navi, will not be held responsible. You have done yours. The people who have not listened to you are at fault. Kihu asa eshalo. You don't blame the tzayfa. He was good. He did his mission. He sounded the alarm. Pasuk hey, eis kol shofar shama. Ki haloi shama kol hashofar. Hamazir. The person, the victim, heard the sound of the alarm of the mazir, the one that warned. Therefore, the person has no one to blame but himself. You have to hear the word aval. Okay, I got confused when I read the pasuk. Aval, but if he did not listen to the sound of, but if he would have listened to the sound of the shofar, who nizar be'asharas hashofar v'hoyin nishmar v'hinei milit nafsho, he would save himself. An opportunity to save his life, and he did not do so. Therefore, he is going to be punished for this, that he caused his, he forfeited his life. Okay, let's see. Rashi pasuk la beis la tsoife. Michal, what's a tsoife? What's that French word?
Badet, which means sentry or watchman.
A watch? What did you say? A watch?
Watchman.
Watchman. Pasuk Gimel, V'ra'a es ha'cheref, heima ha'giyosos, techev z'yuch, is a metaphor for the army that is approaching. Pasuk Dalit, Domoi b'roisho ye, avoy misaso yidroish miyad atzmoi, shepasha b'nafsho. In the next world, he is chayiv misa for his negligence. Pasuk Evahu b'nizar b'nafsho milet, if im nizar ha'ya nimlat. Okay, Radak, Pasuk, very short Radaks. Radak Pasuk Gimel says, "V'ra es acherba al aretz ketargumai the kotlin becharba the osan alara." People who kill with the sword are coming upon the land. V'shama v'lenisa kol nisa de parsha. Pasuk. I'm sorry. Sorry. Good. Someone's listening. Very good. Okay. Pasuk Beis. Excellent. I have so much pleasure when someone listens. Only my wife would listen to me. Okay.
She will.
Ben Adam, El Bnei Amcha, Hinei Dibarti Elecha Al Hagoyim Hamereim Li Yisrael. Okay, over here he's speaking to the Goyim Hamereim Li Yisrael who are until now, he's saying until this point in time, Yecheskel was speaking to the nations who caused pain to the Jewish people. Ki Yisu Es Avoinam, they will bear their sin. Al Ve'ata Daber El Bnei Amcha. Now we are changing, we're shifting to a new form of nevuah. I want you to speak to your own people, to Klal Yisrael. Ki ba'avoynosam sholta bohem yad ha'goyim, and let them know that it's due to their sins that the goyim have come and attacked them. V'yamar talehem, emor lochem zeh moshel, give him the following moshel. Eretz, ki avi olecho, omar avi, kumosh omar yirmyo, rega adaber al goy v'al mamlocho, laudia ki hu mashkiach v'bnei adam, v'goy mol toiv latoiv v'ra'al lo ro'im. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who rewards and punishes. Now here's something very, very fascinating in the Radak. And this touches upon major controversy in Hashkafa. Hashkafa, anything about Hashkafa, you get into a lot of trouble. All these Rishonim, they really touch upon things. And he writes here words which are very controversial. Af al pi ki bi Yisrael hi ha-hashkocha ha-gedayla. Even though amongst the Jewish people there was what's called the Hashkocha ha-gedayla, which we call really Hashkocha Pratis.
Right.
Every single little detail of your life is under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supervision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling all the strings. Yesh mimena miktsas b'sha'or hu'umais. There's also Hashkocha by the Goyim, but not to the same degree. There's not Hashkocha Pratis. Miktsas. The degree of Hashkocha also exists by Goyim, but in a much smaller scale. K'mosh Amar, Rak Eschem, he proves this. See, the Radak knows that what he's saying is controversial, and he backs it up with the pasuk in Amos. Rak Eschem Yodati Mikol Mishpuchos Hu'Adama. Only you I know from all the families of the earth. Al Kain Efkoid Aleichem Is Kol Avonei Sechem. I will visit upon you your sins. Only you, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he's interpreting the word Yodati to be a synonym to the word of Hashkocha. Only amongst you am I Mashkiach 100%, but not necessarily amongst the Umay Sa'ilah.
This is the way the Radak is saying is that the whole thing that Yechezkel said about the Umay is before, he didn't care. He wasn't giving them a message, he was giving the Israel message. You're right.
He's saying the entire message. Right, so he's saying he's not coming to warn them, do tshuva because you're going to be punished for your sin. He's coming here to speak to Klal Yisrael and tell them, do not worry. There is a din v'cheshbon. All of your enemies will suffer, will be destroyed. Okay, that's what he named Dibart Yalecha. I spoke to you, the Jewish people, concerning Al Hagoyim Hamireim Li Yisrael Ki Yisu Es Avoinam. Okay, that's a very, very important point which I totally missed. That all of the previous nevuos were to the Jewish people, telling them all of your enemies will one day suffer defeat for what they have done to you. Period. Now let me speak to you. Let me tell you that you also going to suffer for your sins.
Yes.
If you sin, you have an opportunity to do teshuva. And then he goes on to say this idea that there's a difference of hashkacha pratis between Klal Yisrael and the Umay Sa'olam. Now, not everyone agrees to that concept. I don't have it over here. I don't have a verse and chapter and we're showing him to cite to you. This is something which is a major, major philosophical ideological idea in Yadus. In which Rishonim disagree, what exactly is the difference between the Hashkocha Pratis that Klal Yisrael is under versus the Umay Sa'olam? And let's go further. What about animals? What about insects? What about things that take place even in outer space? We know that there are planets that explode. There are things that happen all over the entire universe. There are little tiny insects that are being killed, that are dying in heat in the Amazon. What is there Hashkocha Pratis for these things? Well, these things just happen by chance. There are things in this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves to Mikra. Let's go even a step further. What's the difference between living in Eretz Yisrael and living in Chutz Li'aretz? So this the Ramban says that when you live in Eretz Yisrael, there's a greater degree of Hashkocha. Now, does that mean a greater degree of Hashkocha? What does it really mean? The Ramban really says is that The reward and punishment, the timeline of reward and punishment is accelerated. Or, so maybe it means everyone is subject to Hashkocha Pratis. It just means the payday, the reward and punishment, the reward is much, much more delayed the further you are away from your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is 100% Hashkocha Pratis. But if you're a Jew, living in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to see the reward and punishment very quickly. If you're a Jew living in Chutz Liaretz, you're going to see it on it'll take longer. If you're a non-Jew, it's the same Hashgacha Pratis, but the time period of reward and punishment will take longer. And then you're dealing with animals and things like that, the Hashgacha, it's a matter of time. It's not necessarily a matter of supervision, because there's no such thing in this world as any little thing happening by accident. Everything is happening under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha. Is that the correct approach in the Yadus? Or no? No, there is such a thing called Mikra. There are things which happen just by chance, which is part of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. It's just that we who have been chosen as the Am HaNivchar don't have that. We have special Hashgacha. And then there's a concept called Hashgacha just for the nation, for the klal, and there's Hashgacha for the prat. There's a Hashgacha for a family. A family will be guaranteed a certain blessing, but which member of the family will be the recipient to want to carry on the legacy, that is not that, that can be by chance. And then there's a concept that every single member of the family is going to be blessed with a special Hashgacha. So these are very complicated matters. Here is a very important source in this Radak. He goes out on a limb and he says these very, very powerful words, Afal pi ki bi Yisrael hi ha-hashkocha ha-gedoyla yesh mimeno miktsas b'sha'or hu-umas. There's only a miktsas of hashkocha amongst the other nations.
No, I was going to say, what happens when the interaction then between the Goyim and the Jews? Which way does it go?
So that's what Yechezkel here is saying. The Radak is saying is that here Hashem, Yechezkel first speaks to Klal Yisrael and tells them they're going to suffer for what they've done to you. And you're also going to suffer because you've allowed them to do it to you by doing Aveiros. So I don't know, there's interaction.
So what do you have, like today, Goyim against the Jews? It's clear in the Middle East. So do we say Hashem has a little bit of a shkocha on the Arab Muslim population?
I don't know. That's the big issue. That's the big issue. Here he writes, "Hashkocha yesh mimena miktsas." They only have miktsas hashkocha, but they can be punished. Dr. Fruchter.
So what do other parties say? Shitos or?
So I told the Ramban. I think I'm not mistaken. The Ramban seems to say the focus is time. Goyim. I don't know. I don't have you a chapter and verse, and
I always thought it was a relationship. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing,
because the focus is on us.
It's on us, right?
Right. But others success have to interact or relate with us, so that there has to be.
But their success or not success is really based on ours.
No, but I'm just in general.
Or how they interact with us.
With Gaia and
Hashgacha. That's the question.
Do we think that anything
what
that.
Level?
Do we have Hashgacha Pratis? I mean, we do have Hashgacha Pratis. We do have Hashgacha Pratis. But do Gaia have Hashgacha Pratis? Do animals have Hashgacha Pratis? If an animal gets killed in a car accident, okay, a cat is crossing the street and a car runs them over. You want to say there was Hashgacha Pratis that the cat was killed?
The guy who gets down.
This cat was Hashem was mechayev this cat to die because it committed a crime? I don't know. Is there such a thing? So this is machlokes rishonim. So when a non-Jew suffers, when a non-Jew is rewarded, is that under Hashgacha Pratis? Was that just a mazel? Is that just an accident, just a coincidence? This is something, and then even if you want to talk about an individual, let's talk about the nation. The nation as a whole. Is there a hashkocha that they will be successful, they will fail, this will happen, that will happen? All of these are...
Well, that we see in the numbers.
Well, we see in general, the nation as a whole will be punished, as a whole. But to say the individual elements of the nation, what degree, this is something which is a very, very big mystery. Okay, now let's go further in the Radak. So we did the Radak. The next Radak is very short. Mitzehem, we're going to skip the Radak. And we're going to skip all the others. These are all grammar Radaks. Now, before we go further, there is a very interesting Malbum. Okay, look in the Malbum, Pasuk Beis. Malbum Pasuk Beis, he says, Eretz ki avi oleho cheref. If I bring upon the land a sword. So he writes here, Yesh shnei minei tsoifim. There are two types of lookouts. Aleph, tsoifes shemamidim liros im oyev boliir. The first is you put a lookout to see if an enemy is coming. We don't even know. It's It's times of peace. It's peaceful. We don't even have to suspect that there is an enemy coming to attack. So we just put a guy there to watch out. Base. There's a second type of lookout. And that's when the enemy has already arrived and they've laid siege to the city or they're preparing to go to battle. Base. Achar shekvar boho oyev. Gesundheit. Then mamidim, we position it soifer, a lookout. Liro sula ayen al machaneh oyev ula haziras om sheyishmu es atzma minat sad shemisham yarech hamulchama v'yashle chachitzim v'avnei hakela with another type of lookout which will go and tell the people inside, watch out. These are the types of weapons that they have, and they're going to shoot. They're going to attack from this side.
Battle strategy, reconnaissance.
Let's see. Enochanan, he explains in very great detail. He goes on. V'yavnei kela, v'yashle chachitzim, v'yavnei kela, asir. Now, v'yei shloisha hevdelim b'neihem. There are three fundamental differences between these two different types of lookouts. Aleph. Shat soifim shemamidim lirosim yovah ha'eza oyev mamidim soifim rabim b'chol tzadev. A lot of them. On all different sides of the city, all four sides of the city. Mash enken at soife shemamidim achar sheboha oyev mamidim rak soife echot. Once the enemy already has arrived, so the alarm has been triggered, we know the enemy is here. So now we only need one, we know what we're looking at. When you don't know what you're looking at, he seems to be saying is when you don't know what you're looking at, you need to have a lot of people. Because you don't see anything. So if you have a lot of people, so maybe someone will see something unusual. But once the enemy has already arrived, we know what we're looking at. We only need now one person to analyze, to make the proper analysis of what's going on. Rak tsoife echod sheyayin al maisech oyev umarachto, to see exactly their actions and their arrangement. Base. Hatsoifim sheyiru imboho oyev mamidim anoshim hedyoitim. Ordinary people, a simple man, you pay him minimum wage to go stand on top of the wall and to look and to see with his binoculars, do you see anything unusual out in the distance? Aval, but once we know the enemy has arrived, then we appoint a person who is a military expert, who can analyze their weapons, who's trained to understand their tactics, their weapons, their strategy. Avlat soifa shayamor liros al marechas haoyev shekvar bo tzoch liyotz echod misori hatsova. Hayodehu is where tachsisei the customs of milchama. The yodeya, and he'll be able to advise lahazir esam, the people, exactly mimokim asakana. Gimel, what's the third difference between these two? Hatzayfim harishonim yamid a melech esar hatzava. And this is very strange what he says here. The first tzayfeh, who is going to appoint a lookout to see if an enemy is coming from the distance? The king or the army. Kidei she'im yargishu b'yas ho'yev yodiyah litzava ha'mulchama, they'll tell the general, the army. Lotzeis likraso likrof. Aval hatzayfeh hasheni imbo oyev yamidu ha'om kuloi. Kidei she'be'eish she'yireh ho'yev yodoy romo v'she'yichbo'ish esso'ir. When they see the enemy is about to attack, yodiyah es ha'om kidei she'yimaharu li'himolet al nafshom, they should know how to run away. So I was saying something seems a little bit strange, is that when you have lookouts to see the enemy is coming there, that's appointed by the government.
People don't care. They don't know anything about it.
So the government's responsible.
Right. But when the guy's in front of you...
You don't rely upon the government.
Everybody.
I want my own webcam watching exactly what's going on. You're not going to rely upon the government for your safety and security. The people themselves will get involved.
Well, they support it. Either that, or
they pay for it.
They don't support. What are you spending money on that?
Wasting money on this. So therefore, it's something that the government is in charge of doing. Here, it's very practical. The enemy is about to attack. Then the people themselves, will get involved. So now, with that, now this is a very nice marshal, but the problem here is I really don't understand how he follows through with this. So therefore, my right away the question is, so what type, this is a marshal for a Navi. So is the Navi Hashem from category A or category B?
Category B?
So that's what I was waiting.
Navi is not a hedge.
So what is this? So that's what I was very curious of, but he doesn't really explain. Let's see, maybe he does. V'zehu she'omar, eretz ki ovi olecho cheref, im kvar bo, he's saying it's two, it seems, im kvar bo hacheref. Va'oz ein tzach lahamit soifim rabim liros im bo hacheref, rak oz yichu am haaretz, the people themselves will take a person, kihem ya midu hatsoifer, virak ish echot, vihish hu miktsehem, the man is one of their own, he's not a person from the government, ritson elaymar, echot nikitsine, I'm one of the leaders of the people themselves, so emid beroisham, vinosnu oisolohem litsoifer, she ikar mashet soifer hu bavuram, he's looking out for the people. So it appears from the Malbim that he's giving a very deep insight into the mashal of a Navi is compared to a lookout. He's not a lookout that's appointed by a government to see what's doing in the distance. He is a lookout that is appointed, is hired by the people after the enemy already has entered, the enemy already is here, and the enemy is about to attack, and this person, he is sophisticated. He knows exactly the strategy of the enemy, and he's going to report back to the people. So
there are it's a little hard to understand, like Yeshaya, 200 years before, that's...
So maybe that's exactly the point. Maybe that's maybe one of the suggests is that Yeshaya was a Navi from Category A, and Yechezkel and Yirmiyah were Nevi'im from Category B. Very good. Yeshaya was talking to people when it was Golus was far, the home was far, far away. It was 200 years from now. And people, they looked at him like, out of your mind. Everything is fine and good. What are you talking about? Yirmiyah and Yechezkel, they're talking at times when the world is going up in smoke. Okay, there's Nebuchadnezzar and there's Mitzrayim, and there are battles, there are wars, and who knows what's going to be tomorrow. So in the Hanami. So this is a very interesting idea that Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, is from Category B. The enemy already is here. We need to appoint only one person who is sophisticated and who understands the nature of what is about to happen. And who is going to appoint him? Not the king, not the melech. Okay, we always find that go Yeshaya, Achav, Elisha, we find there's this relationship between the king and the Navi. Here, the relationship is more between the people, and the Navi. It's a very interesting idea. Is the Navi an extension of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, or is a Navi an extension of the Am of Klal Yisrael?
How is Yechezkel related
to the people?
In that sense of
he was a common man. He lived among the people. Maybe you go back to time of Yeshaya, where you're dealing time with the other Urnavim, Eliyahu and Elisha and those Nevim. It's interesting is you find their conversations were always with the kings. They're always talking to the kings. They're not dealing. They're not even dealing with.
He
was a kind. What's the problem?
Okay, he spoke to the people, but he was rooted. His base, his home base, was rooted. You get more of an impression. You have to go back. You have to go back and reread the entire Sefer Melachim, entire Sefer Shmuel. You're saying over here, the Malam is saying an amazing stuff. Okay, he's saying amazing stuff. Look, we have in the Klal Yisrael three major different figures in Klal Yisrael. We have the Melech. We have the Kohen Gadol, and we have the Navi, or a collection of Nevi'im. He's saying, "No, David. When David was Melech, you know, there were many Nevi'im. There was God HaChayzeh, and there was Nasan HaNavi, and there was a whole band of Nevi'im." Here, it's interesting. We don't find a school of Nevi'im. We just find one Navi. Yechezkel in Bavel, Yirmiyah in Eretz Yisrael. We don't find here a collection of Nevi'im. And maybe that's really what the Malam is trying to point out to us. When you're going back to earlier times, there the Navi was more of the Tzoifem from Category A, and there you have to have a lot of people. You have a lot of people all over the place, all over the walls, looking out. There were schools of Nevi'im. And the Nevi'im were all very close to the Malchus. Maybe even the king supported them.
Oh, Shmuel had his thing with
him. Right, so maybe.
He was a Navi with his own school.
He was a Navi himself. Maybe the Nevi'im were supported. They sat by the king's table. Here we're living in a different generation of Yechezkel. We're dealing with the time of the Churban. The enemy already has arrived. And it's interesting, we don't find schools of Nevi'im. We find a lot of Nevi'im. Sheker, false prophets, but we only have reference to one Navi Emes, either Yirmiyah or Yechezkel, depending upon where you live. That's perfect what the Malbim says. And is he connected to the king? No, the king doesn't even look at him. They're not even having a shaykhus to the king. When Yirmiyah comes to the Melech, he says, kill him, throw him into the dungeon. They're a person who is an extension of the Am, of the nation. And they're very sophisticated in telling you exactly what is going to happen, the details are all present. Perhaps the details of Yeshaya are not as specific as what we have here in regard to Yechezkel. So this is I didn't really pay much attention, but now that I'm talking about it, it really comes to light that this Malbim is powerful stuff. He's really got different types of
Nevi'im. The authority is coming not from Hashem.
No, it is from Hashem. Of course it's from Hashem. It is from Hashem, but it's an extension of the people. Whereas you can have other Nevi'im who are an extension of the Malchus. What does that mean exactly? A Navi who is a partner with the Melech, or a Navi who is a partner with the people?
Achav did not appoint them. He hated them. He would have killed them
before. That was Achav. But why is there a conversation between them?
Navi reports to a king.
On a salary, the
no, they do. We find Eliyahu, Yiftach, the Gemara has a discussion.
I don't think it means reports. It means his interaction is primarily
with the king.
Okay.
Right. When there's a message to relay, where do you go? I go to the king. I tell the king what Hashem said. Yechezkel, when he has a message, Yirmi has a message. You go to the king? No. Yirmi is preaching to the people in the street, preaching to the people. The king finds out secondhand. Most of the prophecies in the Yeshaya is where the Yeshaya is speaking directly to the king. I'm telling you what Hashem said. It's now your job to relay the message to the people. Yechezkel, Yirmiyah, they're speaking directly to the people.
So,
and the king has the spies finding out what they go. They also listen to the news, the king, right? Trump is on the news. He says
cable,
he watches
only cable.
But
is
that the authority coming from?
What?
It's the relation here.
Yeah. So this is a very profound idea. Okay, so this is a Mari Makam to understand, a great insight into the role of a Navi. This is something totally new to me. You ever seen anything about this? A Navi is a Navi. What's the big deal, right? What they're, no. Different types of Nevi'im, different types of relationships in the Nevi'im between the king and the people. Pasik, now let's go further in the next period. So now we go to the next section. Next section winds down. Pasik Vav. What happens if the Tzoyfe, category number two, he sees the sword coming, and he does not sound the alarm? And as a consequence, the people do not pay attention. They do not protect themselves. They do not guard themselves. So it goes without saying that the lookout is guilty. The lookout is directly responsible for the death of the victims. Who? The lookout. Va'avayno nilkach will be taken from this world due to his own sin. V'domo. I'm sorry. Who means the victim? Now here's another very, very philosophical idea. Who? Va'avayno nilkach. The person that was killed, no one dies for no reason. If the enemy attacks and the person was not warned, he did not know that the enemy was about to attack, and he did not protect himself, and he was killed, that can only possibly happen if he deserved to die. Hashem does not take the life of an innocent man. So this person who was a victim anyway deserved to die. Anyway deserved to die, this person. So now the Tzoyfer will say, listen, if Hashem is just, Hatsur, Tamim, Paolok, Yichol, Drach of Mishpat, and this person died anyway because he deserved to die, so just because I was asleep, I fell asleep on the job, and I did not sound the alarm, you can't blame me. It was Bashert for you to die. You hired me, you're paying me $100,000 to sit on top of the wall and to look out and see what's going on. I fell asleep. The enemy came in right underneath my eyes, and they killed someone. So you want to go take me out and kill me for being negligent? I'll say, listen, you're a religious person. It was bashert for you to die. So don't blame me for your death. So the pasuk, that's nonsense. It's taka true. The person deserved to die. Hashem would not have allowed the person to die unless he's really guilty. But still, in all, since you have an obligation, you are hired. It is your job to be a lookout. You are also responsible.
So you say it was you, now it's your turn to die, and it was Bashert.
V'damol miyad hatzoifeh edroish. I will still seek out the blood of the tzoifeh. The truth is, it's a contradiction, right? It's not a contradiction, because that's the way Hashem works is many dimensions. You are fully responsible. And yet, the person who dies, it was meant to be that he should die anyway. Pasik vav in the mitzudos David vehat soifer av la soifer asher yire esachel bo v'loitoka b'soifer lahasir es am imkain lo hoya am nisolios nishmar. They did not pay attention to protect themselves. Hu ba'avono nilkoch v'tzeno loymar im ki bevadai hu mas bigmul avono. There's no such thing in this world as dying without cause. Ki im lo hoyu ba'avono lo hoyu koch b'yachayv lilakov. He did not have a sin, so he did not have the power to kill him. Im kol zeh, nevertheless, edrush damam yad hatzefer la'anoish so al asher lo hisir ubo hatakol al yado. He's the cause. Megalgalin zuchus al yidei zakai v'choyva al yidei chayiv. Yehoil uvotchu olav, since the victim had confidence in the tzofer, for humona ahasara, and he held back the warning, he is guilty. Rashi pasuk, no Rashi on this. Radak pasuk vav, atzofer nilkach komatz bezokin edresh the afi shuvu choy chayv kvar. Even though the victim anyway is chayv misam mikol makom, al yidei atzofer meis. Nevertheless, al piderach ateva. Why did the victim die? It's due to the negligence of the lookout. For whom is chayiv bedomo? Therefore, the tzoyfe is chayiv misa, is chayiv. He is responsible for the death. Kevin shalo his hero. For who lo yoda ma yeh nilkoch nilkoch. He did not know. For who lo yoda ma yeh nilkoch umi hu roi lili lokach. Because the tzoyfe does not know who deserves to die and who does not. The hoyu lo hasir ha'am bichlal, kevin she samu lo tzoyfe ubatru bo, since they appointed tzoyfe and they have confidence in him, v'chein omar, v'ulekim ino liyado. This is what you said, Mr. Rapport, the part of the Gemara Masechta Makos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a person who kills someone b'shoigeg. Ruvain kills Shimon by accident. It's not an accident. From Hashem's point of view, Shimon deserved to die. The afal pichein, nevertheless, Reuven has to go to Ori Miklot, chayiv hashegek. Kevon shehoyu lo lehazir, you should have been more careful. The Omar, ki yipol hanoifel mimenu, it says the word noifel. Noifel means the victim is called the noifel. He's called noifel because anyway he would have fallen. The Omar Abbasin Zal, hanoifel. The reason why it says we're calling him the victim, the noifel, the one who falls, is because roy hoyo lipol ella shemegalgalim zuchus al de zakai v'choiva al yidei chayiv. This is a very profound idea in hashkafa, the different dimensions. There are things which are meant to be, but yet you're still responsible. It's still, you're still held accountable for causing these things to happen. Pasuk Zayin. Now we wind down. Let's listen to one more, a little bit more. We have time here. Let's do now. Pasuk Zayin. The Atav and Adam. So what's the message? The message here is you Yecheskel. Soifer Nesaticha Leves Yisrael. You Yecheskel. You are the Nimshel. You're the Mashal. We gave the Nimshel. You're the Mashal. Or the other way around. You are the Soifer. The Shamata Mipi Davar. I'm going to deliver a message. The Hisharta Oisa Mimen. And I want you to warn the people from me. The Amri L'Rosha. Now here we again, these are the psukim that we had in Perek Zayin. The Amri L'Rosha. When I say, Han Hashem says regarding a wicked man, Rosha Mos Tomus, you wicked man, you will die for your sins. The Lo Dibarta, if you Yecheskel fail to approach that evil man and tell him that he will die, Lahasir Rosha Midarko, to tell the Rosha to do tshuva, to return from his evil ways, and the Rasha therefore does not know, does not hear the warning. Hu Rasha ba'avono yamos. So the Rasha will anyway die due to his own sins. But you, Yecheskel, if you fail to give him that warning, you are responsible. V'damo miyotcha avakesh. I will seek his blood from you because you failed to do my mission. Pasuk Tes. V'ata, but you, ki his harta Rasha midarko loshim mimena. If you do warn the wicked man to do tshuva, v'loy shav midarko, and does not listen to you, so hu ba'avono yamos, indeed he will die. V'ata nafshecha, but at least you Yecheskel, your nafshecha itzalta, you have saved your soul because you have done the mission. Let's see these three psukim.
Yecheskel have to give his instructions.
What?
These are instructions to Yecheskel.
Right. So Yecheskel is saying, why should I warn him? Anyway, he knows he's not going to listen. Anyway, that's the point. The pasuk over here says the Rasha basically is not going to listen anyway. So Yecheskel says, why should I bother? Why should I waste my time, exert myself, and suffer abuse by going to this Rasha and telling him do tshuva? He's anyway not going to listen, and anyway Hashem's going to, and therefore Hashem will take his life. So Hashem says to Yecheskel, that's a mistake. I don't care. I know he's not going to listen. And therefore, and he's going to die because he is a Rasha. Nevertheless, I'm giving you a mission. The mission of the Navi is to say, to deliver the warning no matter what.
Yeah, the mission of the Navi to say, these are my instructions, that even though you won't listen, I have to tell you.
Otherwise, no, doesn't say that. That's what he's saying. Doesn't say that. And you're reading that. You're reading too much into the words. Hashem is teaching here the role of a navi. Hashem is telling Yechezkel, I know in advance. I know in advance that Rosh is not going to listen. But and therefore, the logical conclusion is: so don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. The answer is no. You have an obligation to deliver the message, whether you like it or not. Why? What's the reason? The logic behind that. That is another topic of discussion, right, which let's wait until we get to the end of this section. We'll come back to that.
Are you going to talk about the practical application like that? I know they say today,
you see somebody
doing it there.
Someone's talking during davening.
You know the guy's not listening.
Guy is talking during davening. So we generally say don't. If the person is not going to listen, the general rule of thumb is don't give them mussar. In fact, I was eavesdropping yesterday before mincha. Now for Mincha and Shul, fascinating story. They don't even know that I'm telling over the story because I was eavesdropping. Well, it's not my fault. They're just talking loud in the Shul. A fellow went to an event and he met Rav David Feinstein. No, Rav Reuven Feinstein. Rav Reuven Feinstein. This is what he said, Rav Reuven Feinstein. And he told him that in the bungalow colony, this Pesach Shabbos, the Erev went down. And the shayla they had amongst the people was, should they make an announcement? Should you announce to the people, Rabbi Sai, the Erev is down and no longer carry on Shabbos? So Rav Reuven Feinstein said, so give him Musa, right? Give him Musa. This is an example. Your question, should you tell the people not to?
Right.
So, what's the dilemma? People, when you tell people the Erev is down and they're under the assumption the Erev is up, they're going to have a very hard time listening, following instructions, and it's very likely they will continue to carry. And therefore, they become mezidim. Mutov sheyiyu shoygigin va'al yuhu mezidim. That's the dilemma. On the other hand, there are many b'nei Torah that will listen. That will not carry. So he said that Rav Reuven Feinstein, he grabbed me by the arm. he was holding on. He said, let me tell you a story with my father, Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We were once exactly this shaila in the bungalow colony, and the Erev came down, and they announced it. They announced to the tzibur, the Erev has fallen, you're not allowed to carry. And Rav Moshe was walking with, and they overheard a woman say to her children, Kindelach, bring in the toys into the house. Into the bungalow, the Erev is down, we can't play with them now anymore. The Erev is down, so you can't play outside with the toys because the Erev is down. Therefore, Kinderlach, bring the toys inside. If the Erev is down, it's much worse to bring the toys from outside to inside. So Melocha Daraisa, and the National Daraisa, and the Bone Colony, this Hachnasa, versus playing with the toys that are already outside, it's a Shiloh, will they be Maver Dalad Amis Berishus Saradim? So it's much, much worse what this woman said. And she said it out of ignorance because she's not sitting in Kol Chazonish learning the laws of the Erevin. The Erev is down, so in her mind it's obvious, the Erev is down, so we can't play outside on Shabbos. So she instructs her children to take the toys from outside and bring them into the house and play inside. So Rav Moshe, when he heard this woman say this to her child, Rav Moshe said to Rav Reuven Feinstein, from this we learn that you should never announce that the Erev is down.
Right. Yep.
Isn't that amazing?
On Shabbos. That was his sheet in Shabbos.
You should never announce if the Erev is down before Shabbos. You know, this construction, whatever it is, and it cannot be an Erev. Of course, you have to announce it before Shabbos. There's no Erev. But if the Erev is up and then the Erev goes down on Shabbos, do not announce the Erev is down.
Can you tell one person?
Yes. People who you know for a fact are going to listen to you. Tell them, B'nai Torah, you know, the Erev is down, don't carry. But just to make a general announcement in shul, and people will mingle among themselves, the vast majority of people do not know the halachas of what exactly that means, what that entails, and here you see something which is very innocent, but yet is a major violation of halacha, where she's telling the children to take the toys in from the street, from the yard, outside, and bring them inside. That's a takala that comes from telling people the end. And halachas kam v'kama, people who don't even take it seriously altogether, saw the Erev is down. It's not my, it's your problem. You should have put, if the Erev was good before Shabbos began, it's good. It's not my problem. You can't go hold me up in the middle of Shabbos.
There's a das yachid in the Mishnayos that says that.
There's no das yachid. There's a sugya of Erev Tavshilin. Of the Erev Tavshilin if it disappears. Erev Chatzeros. The Mechitzos. If the Tzuras HaPesach goes down, less man to Poland, there's nothing to talk about. It's, you're not allowed to carry. There's no Mechitzos. Okay, so therefore that's an interesting topic of, generally speaking, it's if you know that people are not going to listen, even if you do know they're going to listen, generally, you do not give Musa. So you're asking the question that flies in the face of what it says over here. Hashem is telling you Chetzel to give him the Musa. Obviously, the rules of giving of a Navi, giving Musa, are not the same as individuals giving other people advice. A Navi is a professional. He's a professional. He's part of a union. Right? He has a license. He has a badge. Okay? He pays taxes, right? He's a specialist. Whereas the average person who gives Musa in the Beis HaKnesses is not necessarily trained. It requires great skill to give Musa to a person. More often than not, you blow it. You do it all wrong and the person hates you for the rest of their life. Believe me, I know all about it. Okay, let's go to...
You ever heard Rav Reuven talking to him?
No, I heard this fellow, he's very big Talmud Chacham. He says he learns half a day, this person. And he was telling this story to his chavrusa. To his chavrusa. And I'm just sitting there listening to what he's saying. It's a great story.
Right.
It's a great story. It's a great observation from Rav Moshe. And it's a very, very powerful insight into halacha. You think it's so, yeah, make an announcement. What could be? Make an announcement. Erev is down. Pum fakeret. Make an announcement. It's even worse. Let's see over here the this pause. We have the three psukim. We have to finish very quickly. Three psukim. Zayin, pasuk Zayin. Soif and nisatichol. Nasati yoschol yos. I'm reading in the mitzudos David. Let's run this very quickly. Soif and nisatichol. Nasati yoschol yos. Soif and nisatichol yoschol. Kasher tishma. Mi pi apronis. Am yedes lovoi tahazi oisam yishmi. When you yecheskel hear the punishment that will come upon the Jewish people, let them know about it. Biyomri. Biyomri ala rosha ator rosha. Hinei mos tamus. You wicked man, you will certainly die. The Ato Lodi Bart, and if you Yecheskel fail to warn him, Ezos Lahazres Harosha Lo Shubidarko Ki Im Harosha Hu Yomus Valvoinoi, and now it turns out that the Rosha dies due to his sin, we call Mokoim, it doesn't matter. Avakesh Domo Miyotro Ki Ulai. So here the Mitsudos is coming to get into the Lomdis. It doesn't say in the Pasuk the word Ulai. This is the Chiddush. A novel understanding of the entire difficulty with this approach. Ulai, you never know. Maybe if you, the Navi, will give him Musa, even though the chances are stacked against you, and it's not likely he will do tshuva. Ulai, the microscopic percent, a fraction of 1% that he will do tshuva is enough of a reason why you have to do it. Ulai hoya nisar im. If you'd extrapolate from what it says in the Mitsudos, let's say you are 100% certain that he will not listen, then it would be mashma from the Mitsudos that Yecheskel does, then you don't have to give over the Nevuah. Hashem gives you a message, and you look at your people in front of you. There's no way they're going to listen. Hair will grow on the palm of my hand before they'll listen to one word that I have to say. So according to the Mitsudos, you potter. And it said, then the person is not going to be chayiv. Not everyone agrees to this mitzudos. The Rishonim will see that say no. Even if you know for a fact they're not going to listen, you're still mechoyev to say it to them for other reasons.
The Navi.
Right. So this Navi. So this is the mitzudos he injects into the pasuk, something that it does not say, which opens up a world of interpretation. Ki ulai hoyunizar im hisarto tes viato avol im ato hisarto es harosh lios nisar midarko lo shemimeno vehu lo shemidarko. But if you do warn him and he doesn't listen, hu bavono yamos. Okay. Ka'omer b'chilim ne as ha roisecha meis. He's not going to die. Make note, this is also very important. He's not going to die because you warned him. If you warn him, don't do this, and he does not listen, and he dies, the death is not because he didn't. Don't get carried away. Don't have fears. Don't have an inflated. What's the expression? Don't have an inflated view of yourself that you're so great that if you violate your command, someone's going to die. You're not so great, Yecheskel. Just because someone doesn't listen to you, who cares? Nothing's going to happen to them. The reason why the person died is because he sinned. Haloi bavonoi me yamus. The imkain ain't a davar ra ba min hazara. Nothing bad comes from your warning. Avol ba mi men a davar toiv. What's the davar toiv? Ki ato itzalta nafshecha al yada. The good thing, it's very bizarre what he says, is at least you save your own life. You save your own hide. Because if you didn't do what I told you to do, Yechas, I would kill you. You would be responsible for his death. Al yada ki im lo hisharto hoy alecha oinish al haham noha, for the withholding. Ki ulay hayinizer, again he adds that ulay hayinizer in his heart, if you would have warned him. So this is the approach of the Metzudos. Two very interesting ideas. The reason why you're giving the vua warning is ulay, and number two is Yecheskel, just because you told him to do something and the person was in direct violation of your command, that's water off a duck. It's a very interesting idea, because today, you know, some people, they like to brainwash him thinking that, you know, there's something called Das Torah. Okay? I'm not chas v'shalom to be little Das Torah.
We're on your side.
Not chas v'shalom. Das Torah is a very, very holy thing. It's a very holy thing. But some people, they get so carried away with Das Torah, they'll tell you that if you don't listen to what Das Torah is, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. The reason why you have a problem is because you didn't follow Das Torah. The reason why you have a problem is because you did an Avera against Hashem. It's not because you didn't listen. The Das Torah is not stronger in our generation than the words of the Nevuah. And if Hashem is telling Yechezkel, don't have such an inflated view of yourself. You're so great. I tell the people, do this. And if they don't listen to me, God will strike them down with lightning. Hashem's Yecheskel, no way. I'm not striking them down with lightning just because they didn't listen to you. You're just a tape recorder. Doesn't make a difference. If I'll strike them down with lightning, it's because they did an Avera against me. It has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. This Das Torah telling you what the halacha is. So they tell you what the halacha is, and you don't follow the halacha. The reason why you're going to suffer is because you didn't follow the halacha. They just happen to be the one who conveyed to you what the halacha is. Sometimes it's not a matter of halacha. Sometimes it's a matter of hashkafa. You have a question. Who should you vote for? Should I vote for this candidate or this candidate? And I don't listen to the gedolim. I go and I vote for the candidate that's not endorsed by the gedolei hadar. So now, will I suffer? Will Hashem strike me down? Will Hashem strike me down because? So the answer is, if Hashem is going to strike me, the answer is basically no. I mean, where do you draw the line? Where do you have the balance? Don't have of yourself an inflated view of your own self worth that you are, by not listening to you, someone deserves to suffer. Isn't that what it says here? Isn't that exactly what it says here in the Mitzvah of David? Go out here into the world. Some people are going to tell me, we're going to censor this.
Well, let me ask you a question, Rabbi.
Yeah?
Can Yecheskel be like Yonah, who resisted, he didn't want to? I mean, that was different.
That's going back what he said in the beginning. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to do the mission.
He walked away.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has Bichur Chavshus. I believe that everyone has Bichur Chavshus. I believe, maybe I'm saying wrong, Hashem recruited Moshe Rabbeinu after 7 days. At the end of the 7 days, Moshe could have said to Hashem, I don't want. I'm sorry.
Walked away.
I could have walked away. Hashem persuaded him, and Moshe accepted the mission. He could have walked away at the end of the 7 days also. So Yecheskel also could walk away. In Achareish Tacharishi, Boez Hazois, Revach V'Atzala, Yamud La'Yudim Yimokoyim Acheres, Referish the Pasuk. I'm giving you an opportunity.
No, he only did the minimum. He said to them, to the people of Nineveh, blah, 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 boom, and he walked away. Because he really didn't want to do it. He was very hostile in his approach. Remember, Yonah with the whale.
He accepted it. At the end was, he accepted it.
Say, I'm doing the minimum. You only want him, I'll just give him a nice... Hey, do tshuva.
There are different ways. There are different ways to do the mission. Okay, we're going to stop over here. We're going to stop here.
That doesn't go to the point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What?